Ambassador Nigel Baker, welcome to our studios once again.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We're marking 100 days until the start of the Paralympic Games in London. The Games, which actually began in England as a very small gathering of British World War II veterans. Tell us a little bit more about this interesting history.
That's right. Now, we're very proud that the Paralympics, in a sense, are coming back to where it all started, back in 1948. The first disability sport competition, it wasn't the Olympics at the time, but was held by Dr. Ludwig Guttmann, who was treating World War II veterans who'd suffered various disabilities, various injuries. It was an archery competition, actually. That was in 1948 at Stoke Mandeville Hospital in Britain. 4 years later, he added Dutch disabled athletes. And then, in a sense, from there, the concept of Paralympic movement, Paralympic Games, in parallel to the Olympic Games, really took off. It was actually the Rome Olympics in 1960, where it was formally for the first time called the Paralympics, over 400 competitors taking part then. And London 2012, you can see how the movement has grown. We're expecting over 4,000 athletes competing in over 20 different sports, 15 different venues, and expecting 2 million people to come and watch the events. The key thing from our point of view is for the first time, London 2012, the Olympics and the Paralympics are completely integrated. It's not as if the Paralympics are an add-on to the Olympics. They're absolutely part of the whole London 2012 experience.
It was an incredibly creative and incredibly bold idea, wasn't it, back in 1948, to see disability as something to celebrate instead of seeing it, as it was so often considered in the past, as a stigma, as some kind of serious problem, to really celebrate the achievements.
And that's really part of what we're trying to do with London 2012 as well. I mean, in a sense, going beyond that celebration, we think that the United Kingdom is a world leader in the way we respond in both society and in government to disability, that allowing people to be integrated as far as possible in the normal day-to-day life, and to encourage other people to look at disability not as a problem to be surmounted, but as something that is quite normal in daily life and needs to be integrated. And therefore, the whole focus of the Olympics this year, and I say the Olympics and as well as the Paralympics, will be that accessibility, the London Games will be the most accessible, I think, of any Olympic Games in terms of transport getting there. Disabled people will be part not just of the competition in the Paralympics, but the whole organisation. We have thousands of Olympic volunteers, for example, for the Olympics and Paralympic Games. Many of those volunteers are going to be disabled people who have volunteered and will be able to be part of that. Transport systems have been altered to enable people to get to the Games easily. My understanding is that even the sort of official Olympic cars are being adapted so that some of the drivers of athletes to the Games will be disabled people. And it's also about legacy. Legacy is a critical word of the London Olympics. You know, what comes after? It's not just the big event, but there will be housing, there will be homes, there will be schools that will be part of the London legacy. The importance of sport to society, and also a legacy in terms of disabled people. That's international as well as national. There are a number of countries in the world, off the top of my head, I know in Azerbaijan and in Jordan, for example, where there have been events related to Paralympics. Very often young disabled sportsmen and sportswomen, girls and boys, have been taking part in events as part of the lead up to the Games, sort of reminding people that disabled people should play a full part in life wherever they are.
This point about legacy is very important, isn't it? Because inevitably there has been criticism about the costs, about the disruption to life of local people. How well do you think perhaps those criticisms are being answered?
And cost is always a big thing around any Olympic Games. I mean, the public, the amount of money coming from the public sector for these Games in London would be about over £9 billion. So it's costing a lot of money. But I think we're fairly confident that what the Olympics will both generating for the UK itself in terms of employment, in terms of the most spectacular infrastructure, regeneration of the post-industrial part of London. The East End of London. I'm told that 75 pence in every pound is going into regeneration, essentially. So this is long-term guarantees for the future. So I think, you know, these criticisms are being answered. There will be thousands of people who will come to London, get to London for the first time. So there'll be tourists there, there'll be visitors. And it's about so much more than just sport. We have cultural Olympics as well going on, a great sort of cultural festival. Different parts of society are participating, so using the games as a backdrop. The Catholic Church, for example, in Britain, and other religious denominations are working hard with an initiative called More Than Gold to use the backdrop of the games to emphasise positive aspects of young people being together, of working together, of volunteering, etc. So there's a huge amount going on, far more than sport, even if sport is right at the centre. And I think most people believe that the investment is worthwhile. And we're on budget.
That's always good to hear. You're talking about so many people coming to London. Of course, the other big concern is security, isn't it? As often happens in any event where you have those sort of numbers of people, it's obviously an attraction for the terrorists.
Security is, of course, a massive and prime concern. It is one of the major issues, sadly, one of the major issues that any bidding city has to consider when making its bid to the Olympic Games. We are obviously doing everything that we can to ensure that these games will be absolutely safe and secure for all participants, for all visitors. There has been a bit of controversy recently over some of the more sort of what I would call more dramatic measures being taken, which actually have been taken at other Olympic Games before, such as positioning anti-aircraft missiles near the site and that sort of thing. But these are all standard measures. Our security services, the police, have a lot of experience, and our aim, of course, is to make sure that security doesn't get in the way of people's enjoyment of the games, but facilitates and helps people enjoyment of the games, and of course keep people safe and secure while they're in London.
You mentioned the More Than Gold initiative. Of course, the churches are very involved in many different aspects of the games, and it's a broad ecumenical movement, this, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Catholic Church in England, Wales, are playing a particularly strong role in this, working alongside, you know, the Anglican Church in parishes across the country, not just in London, and as you say, with other religious groups, with Muslim groups, with Hindu groups. One of the exciting things, I think, about having Olympic Games in London is that London is a world city. If you look at all the countries taking part, most actually will have their own support group amongst their own national community within London. So all kind of, most countries have got their own inbuilt support locally. This obviously extends to religion as well. And we believe that sort of Britain's makeup, multi-ethnic, multicultural, multi-religious, will provide a very sort of welcoming and supportive backdrop to this extraordinary international event.